All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.
Hey, I'm Kathy Werzer. We've been giving our Minnesota Today podcast listeners a sampling of my new show, Minnesota Now, and you seem to be liking it so far. That's terrific. So we'll keep bringing you one interview from the show each afternoon here on Minnesota Today. And if you want even more of Minnesota Now, tune in weekdays at noon on NPR News or subscribe to the Minnesota Now podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks so much for listening and spread the word. There's still a lot we don't know about Omicron. We know it's been found in at least 16 states now. Minnesota, of course, is one of the first to report a case of the variant last week. But researchers are still not sure if it will make people sicker than the Delta variant. For more, we've contacted Michael Osterholm, the director of the University of Minnesota's Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
Delta started fast. It continues to rip through the population. Is Omicron spreading as fast as officials fear it could?
Actually, right now, I would say it's spreading quite a bit faster than Delta did. If you look at the data from South Africa, you look at the number of countries that have already documented its transmission, you look at the number of situations where one person infected a number of people at a single event. This really points to even a much more infectious virus than Delta.
The early information that Omicron picked up genetic material from another virus that causes the common cold in humans is kind of interesting. What does that mean?
Well, it actually, I think, could mean two things. And of course, this is all very preliminary yet. But one is that can help account for some of its transmission characteristics we're seeing right now. There's enough mutations on the virus that could enhance transmission anyway, but this surely could help. It also, however, could be a good thing. Each season, we have a kind of a common cold virus picture with a type of coronavirus, a cousin to the COVID-related coronaviruses, and it surely does not cause severe illness. And if this new Omicron variant has picked up some of that, then that could actually explain if people in general are less ill. We do know that there are a lot of breakthrough infections right now with people who've been previously infected. We're still trying to find out how well the vaccines protect. But the real bottom line question is, if a lot of people get this, but it's not causing, on a whole, severe illness across the population, this would be incredibly good news.
But we don't know how this variant will compete with Delta. So if we had to pick which would be better for a milder pandemic?
Well, in the ideal world, wouldn't it be great if, in fact, Omicron actually ended up outpacing Delta, replacing it? And with it, more people getting infected with a milder illness that hopefully would give them some additional protection against any variant like Delta. That could be Mother Nature's way of helping us out of this pandemic. But at this point, again, that's all just hypothetical. It'll be, I think, at least another 7 to 14 days if we're going to have a better handle on disease severity. It's already there in terms of transmission. I have no doubt about it. This is a very highly transmissible virus.
It seems to have easily reinfected those who've already had COVID. Apparently, natural immunity might not hold up as well with this variant. What does that bode for those who've gotten sick but are still not vaccinated?
This may actually greatly lessen the likelihood that you would have severe illness. So one of the challenges we're having right now in South Africa, interpreting the data there, is so many people had previously been infected with the previous surges, particularly with Delta, that we're seeing a number of breakthroughs where people who are being reinfected with the virus have milder illness. Now, is that just because they had a reinfection situation, whereas if somebody getting infected for the first time may actually have severe illness? So that's what we're trying to get at. So the most important message any of the listeners can take away from today's discussion, please get vaccinated if you haven't been as soon as possible. And for those who are eligible for boosters, get them. Whatever is going to happen with Omicron, I can promise you that there's a much, much greater likelihood you'll have a milder illness with that variant if you already are vaccinated now.
Because the virus may have developed in Africa, we're not completely sure of the source. Is this a good example of why the world needs vaccine equity?
It is an incredibly important message about vaccine equity. You know, it was a year ago, actually this week, that I did a podcast on my weekly podcast, which the title was The Last Mile and the Last Inch. And I was trying to get across the point that it wasn't just getting vaccine to populations. It was helping them to get the vaccine and turn it into a vaccination. Some of that was just logistics. Some of that was the same issues we're seeing here in the United States with reluctance to get vaccinated, vaccine hesitancy. And it's not enough just to drop, a couple of cargo pallets of vaccine on an airstrip.
So the Biden administration says it's going to send more vaccines out worldwide. Well, what do you think, just generally speaking, of the administration's plans to battle COVID this winter? Is it enough?
Well, I can tell you at this point that it's not just sending vaccine. There are multiple efforts going on right now to try to enhance the vaccination process, too. In other words, what are the elements of a successful vaccination campaign in any country around the world? So the administration is really doing a lot in that area that has not yet really been noted publicly. Well, again, until that needle is in the arm, a vaccine is just a vaccine. It's not a miracle that it can be if it's in the arm.
As we deal with this pandemic, though, vaccines are important, but so is testing. How key are the at-home tests, and are there enough to go around?
Let's break that into two buckets here. First of all, the test itself is fairly accurate. I would say that we do have false negatives, meaning that people who are infected and potentially infectious sometimes will report negative on the test. And of course, you've heard, in particularly the sports world, where people have false positives. They get an initial test positive, and then on repeat, they're not, and they were not infected. You know, those are largely the exceptions to the rule. Most people who are infected will test positive. Most people who are not infected won't. So I always urge people who have an initial test that is positive, please get that confirmed with a PCR test so that you really know. Second of all, if you're sick and you are not, feeling well, but you feel like you have to go somewhere to a family event, whatever, and you test negative, trust your illness symptoms, not the test. And make sure that, in fact, again, you go get a PCR test. Maybe what you have is COVID, maybe it's not. But the last thing you want to do is go to a family event or a public event of some kind and be the person that transmits the virus to a whole lot of other people.
Who's doing the best when it comes to living with the virus?
It won't go on forever. I know most people are beginning to think that that's not true. And I think it's particularly acute during the holidays, because remember, we missed last year's holiday. And a lot of people in their minds just said, well, we'll make it up next year. And now here we are coming into next year, and here we're still sitting in the middle of this situation. I mean, Minnesota hospitals right now are incredibly stretched. That's because so many people are getting infected. You know, we're still reporting out 5,000 to 7,000 cases a day. We're still reporting out 100 or more deaths a day. And people don't want to deal with that with the holidays. Unfortunately, I think far too many people have given up on the pandemic, saying they're done with it. I understand that from a human psychology standpoint, but the virus doesn't understand that. It still is going for you. And so, again, the best thing you can do is be fully vaccinated. I think a family event where everyone is fully vaccinated, and to add an additional layer of protection, using the rapid test in the morning before that family event to make sure everybody's negative, then celebrate the holidays and have just a great time. But if you don't do that, just know you may be the one individual who creates an outbreak that ends up killing grandpa or grandma.
Are you concerned that we're heading into a second COVID winter?
We are there already. I don't even think we have to say we're heading into it. We're there. And I think the challenge we have right now is the world to understand that this virus does things that we can't explain, at least from a Delta standpoint right now. Why is the Deep South basically largely free of transmission when this summer they were hot, hot, hot? Well, maybe that's changing. We're getting some data right now out of Florida suggesting that when we monitor the wastewater for the virus, which is an indirect measure of how much virus is in a community, we're starting to see that pick up in Florida. We're surely beginning to see New York light up. That has been basically an area where for the last 6 to 12 months, limited activities occurred there, and many people have assumed, well, that means we're over the hump, we're fine here. No, that's not true. Just look at the European countries. The Western European countries, 6 to 10 weeks ago, were touting the fact they had now arrived at the sweet spot where they had enough people vaccinated in the high 70 to low 80% in the population that it wasn't going to be a problem. These are countries today that are in dire straits with regard to healthcare delivery, overwhelmed hospitals, and those are countries with vaccine percentages 10 to 20% higher than we see here in the U.S. Should we be surprised if we continue to see this through the winter? So again, just please get vaccinated. That right now is going to be the biggest thing you, and most important thing you can do to protect yourself, your loved ones, and help us get back to a new normal of life.
Michael Osterholm, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathy.
Mike Osterholm is the director of the University of Minnesota's Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy.